Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to be entertained by the eighth, the young man who has become a legend in his own time.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted.
All right, yowza, yowza, yowza. And if you know what that means, you're old. What's up, everybody? It's the Ron Kelly Show coming to you live from Montclair, New Jersey. What's up, everybody? And I know it's been a minute since I've been on the air. I really appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for joining me today and for your continued support. I mean, it's been really, really great having you guys here, especially on Blog Talk. You know, I'm going to be here temporarily until we move on to the new station. But thank you, everybody, for joining me today. Wow. Welcome to the rebirth, if you will, of the Ron Kelly Show here on blogtalkradio.com. Thanks, everybody, who supported the show, rather, over the years, and to my Blog Talk family, who has overwhelmingly supported the Ron Kelly Show. All right. Breaking news. First-degree manslaughter charges have been filed against Tulsa police officer Betty Shelby in the Terrence Crutcher killing. Now, I'm not exactly thrilled about this because there are no winners. Even if Officer Shelby goes to prison, I mean, nobody wins because a man is dead, the family has been irreparably harmed, and even in other cases where there's millions of dollars awarded, it's still not an answer to the violence that has that's been perpetrated on our black men here in the United States of America by certain elements of the police department. Now, I know police officers. I know some really, really good police officers. So I'm not one to brand the whole police community as being racist or biased or anything like that. No, not at all, because there are some good cops out here. And shout out to the ones that are out here, because I mean, if imagine the world without them. So shout out to the good police officers out here that who really do protect and serve the community. But, you know, there are some bad apples out there, and this is something that we have to address. So, and even in cases where millions of dollars are awarded, it's still not an answer to the violence. There's no simple answer, but, you know, I'm going to try to attempt to make some sense of this and let you know what's at play here. All right, let's get you hooked up into the show. Now, the hotline here is 646-668-2838. That's 646-668-2838. You know, I have to slow down a little bit because people are already telling me they don't understand what I'm saying because I'm talking too fast. So one more time, 646-668-2838 is the number here for the Ron Kelly Show. All right, you can hook up with me, and you can like my Facebook page, The Ron Kelly Show, very simple. Just put The Ron Kelly Show in the search engine, and it will pop right up to the page. And do like it when you get there. And if you have any comments about the show today, you can post your comments right there on the Ron Kelly Show Facebook page. And of course, and Twitter, it's R. Kelly Show on Twitter, which I'm broadcasting live, I believe, on Twitter right now, as well as Periscope. Shout out to my Periscope peeps who usually give me a lot of hearts, whatever that means. But, and shout out to my compadre, I should say, my fellow Connecticut School of Broadcasting graduate, Emily Akins, who does a program on Saturdays. It's called Coffee Talk. It's on MESN Network, and you can check her out at 11 o'clock on Saturday. So it's 11 o'clock. It's my good friend and fellow Connecticut School of Broadcasting school graduate, Emily Akins. The show is called Coffee Talk, 11 o'clock Saturday morning on the MESN Network. All right, and you can hit her up on Twitter. It's EMLEIGH, Emily, EMLEIGH. You can hit Emily up on Twitter. All right, let's get it popping here. Lamont Gates, a good friend of mine, Lamont Gates, the unflappable one, is scheduled to call in a little bit later on. He did reach out to me earlier, and he said he would call me, would call into the program. Lamont Gates, a former co-host of mine, who's just a really great radio personality. I'm looking forward to speaking to him and seeing what his take is on all of this. All right, so much has transpired since I put the show on hold. Man, where do I start? Can you hear this? Can you hear the silence? It's the silence is deafening in regards to Colin Kaepernick. Now, everybody knows who Colin Kaepernick is, the quarterback, used to be the starting quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers. All right. And prior to Colin, and we're going to get to the police shooting. We'll get to the, we're going to get to Trillery. Yeah, I guess that's a good way of putting it, Trillery. Hillary Trump won going down Monday at Hofstra University here in New York, in the New York City area. We'll talk about that as well. And we'll get to the terror suspect. And boy, we've been just inundated with coverage on this so-called terrorist. We'll get to that as well. And of course, we'll take your phone calls here. It's, what is it? Oh, it's 646-668-2838. That's 646-668-2838. This is the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. Now, back to Colin Kaepernick. Now, we all, Colin Kaepernick, now, prior to the killing of Terrence Crutcher in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I think, I believe I said it earlier that the breaking news was that the prosecutor there has filed first degree manslaughter charges against Tulsa police officer Betty Shelby, who fired the fatal shot in the Terrence Crutcher killing. The prosecutor has filed charges against her, so we'll see how that plays out. Now, with Colin Kaepernick, most of you know, those of you who follow the news know, that when Colin Kaepernick started this kneeling down process, in other words, when he started kneeling down to protest, he started kneeling down to protest the killing of unarmed black people. Oh man, everybody came out of the woodwork. Oh, you know, he's this, he's that. The police in San Francisco refusing to provide a detail for his they didn't want to provide a detail for the San Francisco 49ers. They want to pull back the detail, the San Francisco Police Department, and all kinds of, and now I'm hearing he's getting death threats. Heard that yesterday. So there's been all kinds of talk against Colin Kaepernick, former sports stars, Jerry Rice in particular, who came out and said that, you know, what he said. Jim Harbaugh, who was the former head coach of the San Francisco 49ers, who now coaches the Michigan Wolverines, also came out and said, you know, he shouldn't be doing this. And just a plethora, an avalanche of people came out and spoke against Colin Kaepernick for what he was doing. Sports, especially the sports writers. And I listen to sports radio because I want to listen to see what sports talk radio personalities have to say about Colin Kaepernick. And a lot of them slander him. Oh, he's a second stringer. So because he's not Tom Brady, that means that he can't talk. I mean, what's that about? So, all right. So what happened was he caught it from all sides. But, you know, the one good thing about it, I have to give Chip Kelly, who's the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers now, I have to give him credit because he kept the team together and there wasn't a whole lot of flack going on about it. I mean, and slowly but surely other people began to get on the Kaepernick bandwagon. Slowly but surely other players around the NFL started kneeling instead of standing up. And people just have to understand this has nothing to do with the military. Nothing to do with the military. Nothing to do with, you know, disrespecting the flag and all of this nonsense. And you see, this is how the narrative got changed, because it's easy to, like, white people, and, you know, I know a lot of white people, you know, and I'm not going to say something stupid like some of my best friends are white, but white folks, to a degree, are still afraid. But not afraid, but white folks are uncomfortable talking about racism, okay? Because, you know, what has happened is, you know, in a lot of white circles, you know, you hear that some of my best friends are black, and white folks who don't practice racism just deny it completely. It's like, there is no racism. They just deny it. So what's, you know, and so this is part of the problem. Now, we all know, I mean, black folks know, we know that there's racism, not just in police departments, but all across all, you know, social settings and businesses, banking, housing, you know, there's racism all over the place. And I'm not going to say it's rampant or anything like that, but it's out there. But the narrative was changed by some of these people, and they blamed it on they changed the narrative by saying that Colin Kaepernick was talking about was when he knelt down, he was disrespecting the flag, he was disrespecting the military, and, which is just not true. That's just not true. He wasn't talking about the military. He wasn't talking. He wasn't talking against the military, or he wasn't protesting against the military. I mean, wasn't this how he had to do with it? Since when did the military was the only single representation of the flag? When did that happen? Because it blew past me if it did happen. But it was an easy out for a lot of people. It was an easy out. Then they started talking about him not being a first-string quarterback. Like, that's supposed to, you know, he's supposed to shut up because he's not starting. I mean, it just didn't make any sense. So fast forward to today, this has not been a single word since the killing of Terrence Crutcher by police officer Betty Shelby, the Tulsa police officer Betty Shelby, who incidentally, her husband was in the helicopter that was over flying over the scene. Now, Tulsa PD, of course, I don't want to say of course, I don't want to sound accusatory, but Tulsa PD has said that whoever that was, because, you know, because most of you know who follow the news know that there was somebody in that plane, helicopter, from 1,000 feet up that said he looked like a bad dude. Now, how the hell can you tell if he's a bad dude if you're 1,000 feet up in the air? It just doesn't make any sense. You know, and it was dusk. You know, the sun was just about going down. There wasn't a whole lot of light out there. But they knew he was black, whoever that was that said that. So, you know, this is the, you know, this is part of the problem. Now, that allegedly that now the, again, the Tulsa police are saying that it wasn't him. Okay. So, you know, now, as again, I was saying, you know, white folks are uncomfortable talking about race because, you know, race is something that it's easier just to deny it than to talk about it. But anyway, so fast forward to today, I've been watching the news most of the day, and, you know, that I was here. And, yeah, and I just heard just about 10 minutes before the start of the show that the officer Shelby was indicted for first-degree manslaughter. Now, I did hear, you know, segue to California. Now, California Governor Jerry Brown has just signed a bill that grand juries are no longer used in California for police-involved shootings, which is a good. That's a good thing. See, because you don't know who those people. Because people lie. Let's call it a spade a spade. People lie. People lie. So kudos to California Governor Jerry Brown, who has just signed a bill that states that grand juries are no longer allowed to they don't convene grand juries anymore in police-involved shooting cases. So kudos to Governor Jerry Brown. I believe we're just being joined by the unflappable one, I like to call him. The unflappable Lamont Gates. How are you, Lamont? Welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing, Ron? It's been a long time.
Yes, sir, my brother. Much too long. Much too long. How you been?
I'm good. I'm doing all right these days. You know, just glad to be on the airwaves somewhere.
Yeah. Hey, man, you're the best radio host that's not on the air today. I got to give you that.
That ain't too good when you ain't on the air.
Yeah, no, it's not. No, it's not. People just don't understand it, but, you know, and you know what? They probably never will. So, Lamont,
no,
I know I'm fairly certain you've been keeping up with things, and what do you think, what do you have to say about the news that I just heard that the police officer, and we've got a lot to get to, the police officer in the Crutcher killing, Tulsa police officer Betty Shelby, has been indicted first degree manslaughter?
Well, it's one step towards getting some of the facts out, and this is something I'm sure a lot of the people who are who have been disturbed by many of the other shootings have been looking for. You know, a lot of these people are just looking for an indictment. You know, they felt that they didn't get those with the previous cases, but now, since they got an indictment, I think this is a good thing because it's the first step in the right direction, as I said, as to getting facts out on the ground, because opinions come in rapidly, all right? Everyone just knows what happened. We call them armchair, analysts. They just know what happened prior to any court case, prior to any facts coming out, but this is a step in the right direction, I think.
Absolutely, Lamont. I was looking for the earlier today, the other family, of the other gentleman that was killed in Charlotte, they were supposed to come on the air, but they deferred to their lawyers. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But so now we have an indictment. But indictment, Lamont, doesn't always necessarily mean there's going to be a conviction.
That's correct. That's right. That's why I said it's a step towards the facts coming out, at least.
Yeah, and North Carolina, Lamont, has just I was just talking about the good work that Jerry Brown is doing now. Contrary to that, the governor of North Carolina just signed a bill that says that police videos will not be released to the public. I mean, so what's the point of having the camera if you're not going to release the video?
Well, I think what they want to do with that evidence is keep it in a courtroom so that the jurors, the lawyers, and the judges can take a look at this. Instead of causing a media frenzy, what we see that has been going on in the past shootings that's occurred. You have to admit, the media, whether they get the story right or wrong the first time, they take it and they run with it like a blaze of fire, like a four-alarm blaze. And later on they have to make these edits to their story to the point where they've edited it down to the point where, the story has now changed. So that could be a good thing that the stuff is not out to the public right now because, we see a lot of mobs starting to form and it's, a lot of this stuff can be seen as racial. I just saw a video not too long ago on Facebook where a mob of black teens, stampeded this one white team. And a lot of it is believed to have stemmed from a lot of these shootings that we don't really know the actual facts on yet. So I think when you release those videos and people, they come with their opinions and they're sitting in their analyst armchairs, this can cause a lot of confusion and a lot of misguided people to go out and do things that they really shouldn't be doing until the facts are actually made available.
Yeah, we thank you, Lamont. We'll talk a little more about this. We'll talk about the protests and how they affect the narrative of what they should be protesting about and the violence that it's been added to it and all the other, which takes away from the message. And Hillary Trump won. What each candidate must do to win and why is there silence from the FOP? And we'll get to the terror attacks as well. All right, the phone number here is 646-668-2838. That's 646-668-2838. It's the Ron Kelly Show with Lamont Gates. We'll be back in just a moment on Blog Talk Radio.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Some statistics are surprising. Some are unbelievable. And some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%. And that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Your bathroom break is over.
Here we go!
Welcome back.
Welcome. Really?
Now I can know what I plan to do this morning.
To the Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Alrighty then. Yes, indeed, it's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining me and the unflappable Lamont Gates this afternoon. Phone number here is 646-668-2838. That's 646-668-2838. Monday Night Football will be preempted next week, Lamont, by the by Trump-Hillary, or Hillary-Trump, however you want to put it. Hillary Trump won, and I certainly am looking forward to it. I'm checking to see who's playing, but if it's somebody I want to watch, Lamont, I'll definitely be bouncing back and forth, or I may not even watch the game at all because, you know, as one of those news hawk type of people, I'm so interested in how this is going to turn out.
I agree.
I watched this program last night on ABC called Designated Survivor. I was very, very interested in watching. And, you know, we always knew that when the president gives the State of the Union address, the whole government is in one building. And,
right,
the whole government is in one building. The Supreme Court, the Congress, the Senate, the Vice President, the Speaker of the House, all the people in the line of succession, should something happen to the president, are there with the president. So, and I was very interested in watching that program last night. And I found it to be very interesting, Lamont. I don't know if you watched it, but I found it to be very interesting how did they keep one person somewhere in the wings away from where the actual State of the Union address is taking place, usually in the Capitol building. And I just found that to be very interesting. And I guess, Lamont, that's always a possibility that, you know, that something could happen at a State of the Union and where the whole government could be wiped out and that one person would take over the presidency.
Yeah, either that or they got a lot of faith in their, Secret Service men because you're right. When you see these State of the Union addresses made by the President of the United States, typically everyone is sitting there, the House Speaker sitting behind him, the Vice President. And you have to wonder, you know. I know it's been a while since we had a 9/11 attack, a 9/11 style type of attack, at least. I know we had a little bombing that happened recently, and I know you said we're going to talk about that later. But other than that, we've been primarily a safe country, but you're right. Anything can happen. Nothing should be seen as predictable, per se.
Right, and you know, and the other thing too, and there was a little scene on it, Lamont. I'm moving away from what we were talking about. I'll get back to it in a second, but there was a little scene in there where because the president, the Kiefer Sutherland, was playing the Designated Survivor, who was the Housing and Urban Development Secretary, which
right.
Nobody really respects. You know, it's Defense Secretary, Secretary of State, Chief of Staff, and everybody else, you know, and, Health and Human Services, Interior, et cetera, et cetera. So, and there was a little scene in this, Lamont, where the general, I guess it was the Joint Chiefs, the head of the Joint Chiefs and another person were out on the patio of the White House talking about how they can get rid of this president. And I wonder if over the last 7 years and about 9 months that there was a conversation like that regarding President Obama and how they can get rid of him.
Well, I mean, there have been, you know, threats, idle threats, and certain whack jobs, you know, on the internet. There's been news stories about certain people that wanted to plan some sort of assassination attempt on his life. I remember there was a woman who tried to send him anthrax or some sort of poison through the mail. She was also taken into custody. This was a few years back. So you did have that small faction of people who had the idea and wanted to go forth with, you know, what an assassination attempt on the president. But again, that good Secret Service detail, the FBI and or whoever else who's involved into keeping the president safe, came in and did their jobs.
Yeah, and they've done a heck of a job, too, because I was kind of 60-40 on whether Obama would survive those 7.5 years, Lamont, because it's not so much, you know, the people on the outside. I mean, there are people on the inside that walk around with him and hang out with him and, you know, around the White House with him.
You always wonder who really has a internal hatred for the president that's on, you know, that's on the inside of his intel.
Right. Who on the inside can be flipped? So I guess they probably watch the, you know, I guess if all the phone calls, whatever you're doing on your off time, is probably monitored by somebody, because, you know, there are people who can be compromised. But thank God that hopefully within the next 3 or 4 months the president has, that he'll be that he could walk out of there in one piece. It is amazing that they, you know, what
it's
they
got to be a nerve wracking job to defend the president, you know, to guard the president.
Yeah, and he likes to be outside. And I remember when the inauguration, the second one, where him and they got out of the car, it must have been a nightmare for Secret Service people. And he actually got out of the car and started walking with his wife. And then they were like, oh, my God, get back in the car, you know.
Yeah. Well, that was one of the issues with President Kennedy. He used to sort of evade the Secret Service and just literally dive into crowds, you know.
Yeah.
He did that in Texas the day he was killed, too, prior to going to Dallas. So, yeah, you know, you never know who's out there, who's got a plan, who's smarter than the next person, who's in your own team, who's a sleeper cell, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, absolutely true. And she probably, you know, I mean, he had to get away to go, you know, chill out with Marilyn Monroe, whatever was going on.
and there's, conspiracy theories about her death.
She was so young. All right, but now this, yeah, I want to segue over to this, the terror attacks, and somebody made a good point. I was watching MSNBC earlier. They were saying that this terror suspect was taken alive.
Right.
You know,
right.
In comparison to, you know, poor black man broken down on the side of the road who gets killed for being black. Now, what do you think about the fact that this happened, like, right in our backyard, Lamont? Elizabeth,
well, apparently, apparently this guy wasn't on some sort of FBI watch, and, you know, he was able to get away with something like this. I mean, thank goodness it was on a smaller scale, because if it wasn't, you know, a lot more damage, a lot more carnage could have came out of it. But, since he wasn't on some sort of FBI watch or CIA watch, I mean, hey, he was a citizen of the country to them and their office. And you just never know internally who's thinking about doing this. I'm sure we got, you know, more people, American citizens themselves that are non, you know, that don't come from these Middle Eastern and Arab countries, so to speak, who have anti-government sentiments and are probably going to plan something next. But, you know, it all depends on how they're being watched and what list they're on.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that they did say, the father, allegedly the father had reported his son to the FBI a couple years back, allegedly. And now, and what they're saying is that the father recanted his story. And so the FBI didn't do anything. Now the FBI, Lamont, has been accused of blowing a few of these investigations. There have been some people that did slip through the cracks. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, again, like I said, to guard the president must be a nerve-wracking job. The FBI, to guard the country, that's probably even more nerve-wracking. No system, I believe, is perfect. You know, we got the internet, we got, you know, Microsoft, we got all these new technologies, we got the age of information. and even they break down from time to time. You got your new iPhone, iPhone 7, we're coming up to a new one, but even they stall from time to time. You know, human error is something that's never going to stop simply because we're human. But I will say this. Like I said before, previously, we haven't had a 9/11-style attack since 2001, so I think the FBI and all the government officials are, you know, for the most part, keeping us safe. You know, these little cracks like this, when you have someone that comes to the FBI and says, my son is saying such and such, and, you know, you turn your head, maybe they should have did more investigation on it, because obviously, this guy, if he had more power, he probably could have killed people and injured a lot more. So I think from now on, the FBI is probably going to take every single report to them a lot more serious than they have in the past.
Absolutely, Lamont. I think that I, when I'm in Times Square, for example, I still kind of, you know, when I go to Times Square and it's all the people there, it's like a target-rich, for lack of a better word, area.
Yeah.
I guess there's cameras all over the place. But anytime I'm there, I kind of, you know, I'm cognizant I'm not terrorized, but I do think, you know, I kind of not walk too close to garbage cans and, you know, and stuff like that, because that's the whole theme of terror. I mean, to terrorize, to change the way people think. And
right.
They have been, with 9/11, they have been successful in changing the way people think. You know?
Right. Well, mainly with regards to looking at all Arabs as Muslims and all Muslims as terrorists, unfortunately.
Okay, everybody who's listening to the program, you're not gonna, people who are on Periscope, you're not going to be able to hear Lamont Gates because I'll have to figure out a way, Lamont, to wire the whole thing together. But for right now, to folks who are watching the program on Periscope, you're not going to be able to hear the guests. But this is a radio show, and everybody who's listening on the radio, Blog Talk Radio, can hear the program. So, I'll probably put the show on Spreaker or something. I'll get some.
Got you talking to yourself, basically.
Basically, yeah. So, right. So, but no, and whoever's listening to the program, whoever's watching the program on Periscope can't hear you. So,
nice.
I'm going to have to figure out a way to tie it all together. So when I do broadcast the program, that they can hear all the audio
right.
from the station, not just me, but the audio from the station. I'm sure there's a way to do it. I just have to figure it out. Okay, but this is a radio program. It's just simulcast on Periscope. It's not a TV show. It's a radio show. But I will get that together this way, folks. You can check it out on Periscope, which is pretty easy to do. So yeah, Lamont. So now this the terror suspect was born here. So I think this cuts a little bit into Trump's assertion that that we keep people out from countries that are not friendly with the United States. What do you think? I think it cuts into that because this guy was one of the, what they call, quote unquote, homegrown, a citizen,
right,
who lived here.
Right.
Parents who owned a business in Elizabeth and a pizza chicken place, which is kind of apropos for, if I'm using the right word, for Arabs these days.
Right.
We don't even connect chicken with black folks anymore. That's how bad it's gotten. But
sure, most of his customers probably were black, though.
Yeah, probably. I don't eat at places like that anyway, but don't know what's being fried. But yeah, so I think this kind of cuts into Trump's assertion that we need to keep Muslims out, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, listen, from the get-go, from day one, we didn't even need this to happen to understand that Trump was embarrassingly over-exaggerating many of his comments and straight lying about a number of them. If Trump really wanted to keep Mexicans and Arabs out, this country really would fold up. Because, look, for those that are born here who are of, you know, whose parents are of other descent from other countries. These people are being charged taxes that are going towards people like Trump's Social Security and people, you know, all these other wealthy people and everyone who is retiring. At the end of the day, people like Trump will always want to hire these people because he wants to pay them minimum wage, what he feels they he wants to pay them a wage that he feels that they don't deserve, so that they can he can get the hard work in and keep the wages down. So you know, he's just hypocritical on all fronts when he makes statements like this. And I don't believe for a minute that many of the Republicans who are claiming that Trump is the best presidential nominee for this country actually deep down inside believes any of that. I think what we have here is the case of Mickey Mouse running as a Republican, and the Republicans knowing they don't have anyone better, so they're siding with them.
And it's out. It's outrageous to me that people would even want. I think, Lamont, that people have lost. Don't really understand what the presidency is all about. Some people just don't get it. Either that, or they're just so fed up that they just want any change, not just change, but any change. And I find it to be, what's more scarier than Trump, Lamont, is the support that he's getting.
Yeah, yeah. You have to wonder why he's getting such support. Again, these Republicans know they really don't have a strong Republican candidate. They haven't had one in a long time, if you really look back. They haven't had a strong presidential nominee candidate to run for their party. And, you know, this is the best they can do. Mitt Romney was the best they can do at the time. John McCain was the best they can do at the time. And every 4 years, it seems to be getting worse for these people. I mean, I can't think of someone worse than Trump, you know, 4 years away from here. But, you know, they've got no one with a platform. They've got no one with real legitimate policies that's actually helping poor Republicans. So they're going to side with the party line. They're going to side with their traditional political culture and just go for anyone who's running as a Republican. No matter how bad they are, they've got to side with.
It's totally embarrassing and the Cruz people and the Bush people are just got to be shaking their heads, and Daddy Bush is so upset. the elder statesman.
Did you see Bush 41? Yeah, he said allegedly he's voting for Hillary Clinton. That tells you right there you have a really bad candidate.
Yeah, he's so PO'd, you know, and the Bushes are Republicans through and through, dyed in the wool, et cetera, et cetera. And for the elder Bush to say that he's going to vote for Hillary Clinton, and not just say that he's not going to vote for Trump, but to say he's going to vote for Hillary is just kind of an abomination as far as being a Republican.
That tells you right there what kind of candidate that you have running when Bush 41 says he'd rather vote for a Democrat. Bush 41, I have to say, is not being partisan. If these Republicans claim that they're voting for someone that's anti-establishment, they just want someone to lay down the hammer on this country and bring it back to, you know, the great nation it once was, then they wouldn't be so partisan when picking a candidate. They have to see that Donald Trump is probably the worst thing for any country. I don't care if it's our country or a third world country. No one should be voting for this man.
Absolutely not. I just don't understand why anybody would. But what we'll do, I'm speaking with Lamont Gates, everybody, the unflappable Lamont Gates, who actually is a radio host and who's on a hiatus or sabbatical or whatever. I don't know exactly
how to term it.
Lamont is doing other things right now, but you know, we sure miss him on the radio. And Lamont, Blog Talk has vastly improved, my brother.
I'm glad to hear it.
They have vastly improved their system. I mean, absolutely. So you may want to consider, you know, maybe a monthly program or whatever. But when we come back, we'll talk more about the Trump trilogy, Trump won, and will training. You hear so much about sensitivity training with police. Is that really possible? We'll talk about that and a whole lot more when we come back. It's the Ron Kelly Show with Lamont Gates, and we're on blogtalkradio.com.
We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this.
If you hadn't heard Ron Kelly, this is what you could be missing.
That's right. Bill Clinton running around trying to impugn somebody else's integrity. Can you say Monica Lewinsky?
Just because white folks are voting for Barack Obama don't mean that we have overcome.
White people are in control of everything. You know,
it's the NBA. Who's in charge of the NBA? Who's in control of the NBA?
The people who own the team.
The Ron Kelly Show. With your bathroom break is over.
Here we go.
Welcome back.
Welcome.
Really?
Now I can do what I planned to do this morning.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Who edited that? All right, well, we're back. Somebody did some bad editing. It might have been me. All right, we're back. It's the Ron Kelly Show. Lamont Gates is here, the unflappable one. I like to call him Lamont Gates.
Yep.
And all of you. The phone number here is 646-668-2838. 646-668-2838. This is the first show, and it feels kind of weird, Lamont, me, you know, myself coming back to radio, because I've been off for a long time too. I was doing a program from Connecticut School of Broadcasting. Shout out to my Connecticut School of Broadcasting fellow graduates. I was doing a show from there, and then we were having so many problems with the MTR radio that I just set off, you know, and I got sick of running to Hasbro Heights anyway to do the show, you know, after work. So I'm like, you know what? I just said the heck with it.
Nothing is perfect.
Yeah, but sometimes you need to step back too, Lamont. You know, I step back away from the business, and you know, sometimes it's good just to step away for a while and get your bearings, so to speak. At least for me, anyway. I don't know about anybody else. And so it's a pleasure to be back here on the radio. Shockingly, Lamont. Shockingly, you know, I was expecting Trump to side with the police, especially after the National Fraternal Order of Police endorsed Trump. And then Mr. Trump turns around and says, I know I'm kind of bouncing around, everybody, bear with me. And then Mr. Trump turns around and says that the Tulsa officer choked. You know, so I know they're probably like, wait a minute. See, you have to be careful endorsing people like Donald Trump, because Lamont, because he's just liable to say, you don't know what he's going to say.
Precisely. Yeah.
He's a flip-flopper. Yeah, he's shooting from the hip. He took that to a whole new level.
A few years ago, he was saying he was endorsing Hillary Clinton. So, I mean, you don't know what's going to come out of this guy's mouth. I think in the next 4 years, if he does decide to run, he will run as a Democrat.
That's a distinct possibility. Yeah, I don't think it'll change my thoughts of my opinion
of
him.
And it shouldn't. And you shouldn't, because you know he's only there to win, not there for you.
Yeah, right. I don't even think that, you know, there was a lot of talk that he didn't want to even be president in the first place.
I heard that also,
big publicity stunt. And I don't necessarily subscribe to it 100%, but there is a level of believability to that statement that he may not even really want to win in the first place.
Yeah, the story I heard was from his own campaign manager, allegedly, that he is that Trump just wanted to see how far he can go before he dropped out. And lo and behold, you know, he's the Republican nominee. So, you know, if that's true, Trump must really be shaking in his boots, because he doesn't know whether these crazy people are actually going to vote him into the office or not.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was looking at a program, refer back to that program, where the guy who became president in Iran, right away, they began to block off the Strait of Hormuz. Now, anybody who knows anything about the world knows the Strait of Hormuz is where 30% of the oil comes from, or comes through the Strait of Hormuz near Iran. And when it made me think, because now, as soon as right after this explosion happened, Iran moved into the Strait of Hormuz with destroyers, and you know, which and now you have somebody who at least was a Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, did have a little bit of experience, but he was totally unprepared for that. And that takes me back to Donald Trump, who it's just scary, just out and out scary.
Yeah.
That if something was to happen, if somebody was to step through us, like maybe North Korea or Russia, what kind of confidence would the average person with a half a brain have that Donald Trump would do the right thing?
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. And again, his supporters are blindsided by their political culture. They've been taught to vote Republican no matter what. You know, like I said earlier, if Mickey Mouse is running for the Republican platform, you got to vote for him because Mickey knows what he's doing. You know, and it is scary because they're being too partisan and they're not allowing their brains to analyze the situation to realize that, wait a minute, you know, Trump has already admitted once he gets in there, he's going to eliminate the estate tax. Now, what does that have to do with any poor Republicans in the Midwest or poor Republicans down south who have absolutely, you know, no inheritance from their poor parents? What is eliminating an estate tax going to do for them? Absolutely nothing. All he's doing is favoring people like himself, the wealthy. Now, these poor Republicans woke up and threw their culture away and realized that, you know, the office of presidency is something serious. And if they're really anti-big establishment, they would realize that this man is in bed with them.
Absolutely. And, you know, and the other thing, too, Lamont, is you know, so Trump, and we'll get to the – I want to get to that the debate we got coming up and also a couple other things. But Trump – now, Trump harped on Hillary about the Clinton Foundation, and he has his own little scandal going on where he allegedly used foundation money to pay some lawyers. So he's got his own little thing going now. And
That's right. Also
the Attorney General, Eric Schneiderman – New York State is investigating the Trump Foundation. So he's got his own little cross to bear there. And in addition to that, he hasn't released his tax returns, which Hillary should be pounding him for that. I don't understand why she let that go.
Well,
she should be pounding him for that.
Wait for debate night, and I'm sure it'll all come funneling right out of her mouth.
Yeah, easily, Lamont, easily 100 million folks will probably be on boob tube that night. Easily 100 million because Trump, Romney got around 70 million viewers, which is unheard of, ridiculous. So Trump Hillary should get about 100 million at least. So she's supposed to be preparing for the debate. Now, Lamont, would you agree that the bar would be lower for Trump, who has no experience and nobody's going to expect anything from him, versus a Hillary Clinton, who's been a first lady for 8 years? She was a senator. She was a secretary of state. She's got a wealth of experience. So do you think that the bar is higher for Hillary than it is for Trump? And is that an unfair advantage for Trump?
You know what? I what you just basically laid out is that she's much more qualified for the office of presidency than Donald Trump is. And I'm sorry, what was your second part of your question?
Yeah, but now no one is going to. What I mean, Lamont, is will the bar be a lot lower for Trump, who's not expected to, who doesn't know anything and is not expected to know anything, versus Hillary, who has a wealth of experience and who's winning the war on experience with in the polls?
Right. And you're saying, is it an unfair balance to have someone like Hillary go up against Trump, in other words?
Yeah, like does he have, I'm sorry, Lamont, I'm not, probably not, does Trump have an advantage because nobody expects anything from him as far as experience, as opposed to Hillary, who has a lot of experience?
Well, I think these are all, anticipated people's, you know, advantage for him. It's people are anticipating, I guess, you know, something from Trump. You know, at the end of the day, let me put it like this. Let me just be clear. All the stuff Trump has been saying, I think it's about time that someone with her experience and her expertise goes, you know, I don't want to say man to man, but woman to man with someone like him and literally puts him in his place. Because what Trump is, what he has been for many of the American people, is nothing more than a bully. And bullies, you know, when they can't defeat someone else, that other person is looked at as the hero who puts the bully in their place. So at the end of the day, I'm hoping he gets demolished. And I don't really care if Hillary has an unfair expertise balance over him. At the end of the day, he should never have ran for president or opened his mouth and said many of the misguiding and the non-factual things that he's been saying, both about Hillary Clinton and many people who are American citizens. So, I, you know, in other words, he's made his own bed. You know, now he's got to lay in it.
And but I hope all the
facts come out, and I hope all the contradictions that he's been saying are presented there live at debate night, so his Republican supporters can see that this man is not really for them, and can see the flip-flopping inconsistencies that comes out of his mouth.
See, but with you're absolutely right, Lamont. And the other thing too is to see the Hillary has world's experience. She's probably met every foreign leader, friend or foe, in the 4 years that she was the Secretary of State. And, you know,
right.
she's been a senator. You know, she's been the first lady for 8 years. So nobody's been closer to the, you know, none of the 17 people on the other side had more experience than Hillary.
Right.
So I think that, you know, when it comes to certain things like North Korea, Russia, China, you know, Syria and all the other things, the world affairs, I think that Hillary would be under more pressure than Trump, because because basically what I was asking, Lamont, see, nobody's going to expect anything from Trump because he,
right.
you know, because he doesn't know anything. So he's expected to stumble. He's expected to give the wrong answer, like Gary Johnson, other presidential candidate who didn't know what Aleppo was, you know.
Wow.
Aleppo, he didn't know. He's like, what's Aleppo? So I'm like, oh, you're out, you know.
Probably thought it was an animal.
Yeah, and he's got 10% support. I think he's a Libertarian candidate, Gary Johnson, former governor. Or he is a current governor, I'm not sure. He didn't know what Aleppo was. So, but he's going to get a – I mean, but it was news for a second. You know,
right
now, if Hillary, with all her wealth of experience, doesn't know what Aleppo is, that would be news, because she's been a senator, she's been a first lady, she's been a secretary of state. So that was my point, Lamont. Nobody expects anything from Trump.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. You know what I mean? You're going to hear a lot of laughable statements from Trump. He's going to try to go for the insult weapon. You know what he does. He tries to insult his opponents with personal attacks, probably trying to evade the politics because he knows he doesn't have the comprehension that she has and the expertise. But at the end of the day, the people are going to judge him for that. They're going to judge him for what he knows versus this person who has this long resume and this vast expertise of, like you said, world knowledge and domestic knowledge and domestic policy and so on and so forth. So, yeah, I don't expect her to stumble on anything. At the end of the day, like I said, I think you're going to see a bully being put in his place.
Yeah, well, he has to be careful with that, though, Lamont, because she is a 68-year-old grandmama. So he's got to be careful with that. Finally, now, there are people out here, I just want to move back to the police thing for a second, that think that training, sensitivity training, you know, retrain, because that's what you hear anytime there's a police shooting. Our condolences to the to the families of the men who were killed in Tulsa and in Charlotte, North Carolina. Now, that's the first thing you hear, Lamont, is retrain, retrain, retrain. But you can't, you know, you can't train the bias out of somebody. You can't. I'm not saying that the police officer biased, but if that is the case, you know, you can't, no amount of training, in my estimation, is going to change a racist from being a racist or a bigot or a anti-Semite or whatever you want to call it. There's no, you can't untrain a person. I mean, you can't train that out of a person, Lamont. Would you agree?
Yeah, oh, I certainly agree. What you're talking about is changing someone's personality. And, you know, research shows that personality is something that has accumulated from the time literally we're born all the way into your adulthood. All the people and all the experiences, you know, that have evolved into your worldview are all right there in your personality. And like culture, it's very hard to change those things. So sensitivity training, well, you can train them as much as you want to understand the differences between you and the cultures that you're going into. But at the end of the day, if your worldview prevails, then yes, you're not really going to change that. Now, what I do think can happen is, and I believe a lot of our local civil rights leaders have brought this to the table. They said a lot of these cops should be going into these minority communities and just talking to them, getting to know the community. You know, let's say you have a racist worldview. Once you go into the communities and start shooting hoops with them, for example, talking to them, your worldview on racism can now change. Now you can say, well, wait a minute, there's really no difference between these guys and me. They love basketball. I love basketball. They like the same kind of jokes I like. You know, that community, that connection between cop and community needs to happen, I believe, if you really want sensitivity training to go on. But not behind, you know, closed doors in some sort of, you know, laboratory where you got a guy standing up there saying, hey, well, you can't be a racist anymore. That's not going to change anything.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, Lamont, is that, and you're 100% right, and the other thing, too, is some of this behavior that there are, when you got this blue wall of silence, so to speak, where there are cops who really don't want to do the things that they do. You know, they really don't want to be, you know, they feel bad for doing some of the things that they do. You know, so with those guys, that's a big problem, too, is that blue wall. Because, and even with black officers, they also have to, you know, they have to follow the rules, so they find themselves on the outside looking in. So more often than not, they have to, you know, toe the line like the police officer. I don't have the information in front of me, but there was a blatant killing where the man was shot in the back. I think he was down in Georgia, shot in the back, and the black officer was the first on the scene, and he didn't really do anything. So black officers, you know, they're forced to toe the line, so to speak. So like I always say, if there's no punishment, if I'm doing something and I don't have to worry about getting punished for it, I can keep on doing it. So until there's a national standard, a nationwide standard for police procedure, I don't think anything's going to change.
Yeah. Well, again, in this particular case with Shelby and Crutcher, we have an indictment, and what we have to do is just wait for the facts. I urge and beg the public, wait for the facts. Please don't listen to what someone's typing on Facebook. Don't listen to what someone's typing on Twitter. You know, don't listen to an email that was sent to you, a chain letter. Just wait for the facts. You have an indictment now. Let's wait for the facts to be revealed, and let's go from there. Sometimes, Ron, when facts do come out, people don't accept those either, and that's why you get a lot of rioting and you get a lot of, you know, race war-like mentalities out there.
Yeah, and folks that want to, you know, they're just coming out to steal, which is embarrassing to watch, folks breaking into stores.
And then they say, well, you know, And then they say, well, you got no reason to target us. You got to, and then look what they're doing to their own community. You know,
right. You have a responsibility to, you know, if you're going to protest, protest, but don't get out there and act like a fool. Oh, all right, everybody. Lamont Gates, thank you, Lamont, for chiming in, for joining me this afternoon. I really appreciate you, brother.
Yeah, no problem, man. Thank you for having me on. It's been a while. Felt good.
All right. Thanks, Lamont. We'll see you guys next time. Thank you.